Good morning, church.
Thank you, Pastor Neil. You know, I really enjoy the friendship and the creative worship element that Pastor Neil and the team brings to the house. Actually, I was with a pastor of a fairly large church just 2 weeks ago having coffee, and he was sharing how he really enjoyed our online worship service during MCO, okay? And he was telling me that, who's that pastor that you have, so talented? He says, the long hair one. And immediately I know, okay? If he have said the handsome one, I know it's Pastor Stephen. But he said the talented and the long hair one, so I know it's Pastor Neil, okay? So thank you, worship team. Would you give all the volunteers a hand to serve us week in, week out in the kids' church, in the ushering, the tech, the worship today, later on when you pick up your kids? Do thank the kids' church teacher, all right? So thank you, and we are the church together. You know, today, as we kickstart this brand new series called Faith Community, it is really a series. The title and the angle of the series was really discussed and decided together with Pastor Tim and Pastor Eugene earlier of the year in one of our Tuesday morning 7:30 breakfast in Palita. And we are actually very excited about this series because we love the local church. And I believe that Pastor Tim believe in and love the local church. Regardless of your experience of the local church, regardless of the various shortcomings and flaws of the various local church, including ours, I believe that God still uses the local church to fulfill His purpose. Charles Spurgeon once said, the day we find the perfect church, it becomes imperfect when we join it. Is that true? Because there is no perfect church. Personally, a lot of good things came out of my life through this church. I got saved in this church more than 25 years ago. I was running away from God, and the church loved me enough to pursue me and to bring me back to God's love. I was taught how to follow Christ. I was taught how to serve God, serve people through this church. It was through this church as well my wife fell in love with me. She fell in love with me and I fell into a trap. No, I'm just kidding, okay? So my wife is here, you know, I honor her. Obviously, it's a joke. But it is through this church that I got discipled. I was raised as a leader. I learned what it means to preach and eventually started a church in Damansara Church as well. Is this church perfect? Far from it. But it doesn't stop the fact that God still used His local church to love people and to advance His kingdom. You know, when the word church is mentioned, all of us will have different emotion. Some of us, maybe we are excited, we are passionate. Some of us, maybe we are indifferent. Some of us, maybe we have past hurt. Maybe we are skeptical and past experiences. Regardless where your journey of this community is, I want to encourage us to see the church from the lens of how Jesus sees the church. You know, in the New Testament, there are many images that was used to describe a church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is a family. A church is a building. Different verses mention that. But I think the most ultimate expression on how Christ or how Jesus sees the church is the image that the church is the bride of Christ. That's the ultimate expression, that the church is the treasured possession. It is the utmost, highest priority, highest affection to Christ. You know, when we like someone or something, or yesterday I was talking to a car enthusiast, and he was saying that, I love cars, but you know that the love for the car is another level when a man begins to describe the car as my wife, right? We all have that, right? Whether it's our golf equipment, whether it's whatever that we, our treasured equipment, when we describe a car or something as my wife, we know it is the ultimate expression of love. And when Apostle Paul and John was describing that the church, the community of God, is the bride of Christ, it gives us a glimpse on really the affection and love that he has. Ephesians 5, it says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. It speaks about how it presents the church as a radiant church, holy and blameless. It says that no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for the body just as Christ feed and care for the church. It speaks about, verse 32, a profound mystery. Yes, Apostle Paul was speaking about husband and wife, but he says, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So regardless of how flawed, how imperfect church is, it doesn't stop Christ from giving up his life for it and continue to fight for it. And this series, we hope that we can encourage all of us, regardless of where you are, that we want to love church afresh, simply because Christ loved his church. That's the heartbeat of our series. You know, let's take a look at the birth of the first church. Just a bit of background. And this time, Jesus has resurrected. He appeared to many people in that 40 days. And he was ascended to heaven. And 10 days later, so about 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, which is where the Jewish people were celebrating this big Jewish festival called Pentecost, which is sort of like a harvest festival, but it was a big thing that Jewish from all over the region outside of Jerusalem would come back to the temple, come back to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. And the disciples at that time, about 120 of them, they were praying, they were waiting, and suddenly God poured out the Holy Spirit powerfully upon them, and they began to speak in other languages. They began to speak in other tongues, other dialects, that it was kind of surprising and shocking to the people around them. And Jewish from all over the place was wondering, aren't these Galileans? Why are they speaking in all other different dialects and all other different languages? So they were curious. There were some of them think that maybe they are drunk. Some of them were astonished, and a big crowd began to gather. And that's where Peter stood up. And if you read the Bible, it says Peter and the 11 others stood up. It speaks about a team leadership. Although Peter was speaking, but the rest of the 11 were standing next to Peter. And Peter was kind of explaining to them that, remember, he was quoting the Old Testament prophet Joel, saying that, hey, remember God was saying that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit. These guys are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. God has poured out his Spirit. And then Peter went on to quote David about how David has foresaw the Messiah, because to the Jews, it is so significant to know that the lineage of the Messiah is from the household of David. So Peter quoted Joel, Peter quoted David, and then Peter was explaining to them that this Jesus, whom you crucify, is both Lord and Christ. That was the first sermon preached. And the Bible says that the people listening, they were convicted, they were cut to their hearts, and they asked Peter, what should we do? And this is Peter's reply to them. And it is through this reply that there was the birth of the very first church, Christian church. It says, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. I'm going to read through. Every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added to that day about 3,000 souls. It is interesting that the day that the giving of law during the time of Moses at Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died because they were worshipping calf idols. And today, and on this day, the giving of the Spirit, 3,000 were added, 3,000 were saved. And this series, the angle of this series is save yourself from this crooked generation. That this new faith community that was formed was to be different from the corrupt, crooked generation, culture, the value system. It was meant to be different. And this word crooked is mentioned 4 times in the New Testament. This Greek word called skolios. It's translated in English as crooked, perverse, corrupt. And I like this, one of the 4 mentioned in Philippians 2. It says, we are the children of God. Live different. Say, live different. Live different from this crooked generation. We shall shine among them like stars in the sky. So the early faith community, they were saved from the corrupt generation to be different so that they can be a light, they can be an attractive light to the generation around. And same here. And I hope and I pray that churches today and our church today will be different, that we will shine and we will be different from this crooked generation. And that was how the early church was birthed. It was attractive. It was different. It was radical. And what did they do? That's what we wanted to know. As a church, what did the first church look like? I'm just going to read the key passage. It says they devoted themselves. Say the word devoted. They devoted themselves. And this word devoted, in Greek, it means proskartereo, which means to attend constantly, to be steadfast, to be earnest towards. You know, it's very clear when someone is devoted to something. Isn't that true? When we are devoted to a sport, when we're devoted to our business, when we are devoted to our children, when we are devoted to a particular hobby, to golf, to fishing or whatever, it's very clear how devotion looks like. Because it shows up in our passion, in our time, in our emotion, in our resources. It shows up. It's obvious. So the first early church community, they were devoted to a couple of things. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And all came upon every soul. Okay? So today, maybe it's not all. It's, I don't know. All came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possession and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, their breaking of bread at home, they received their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the number day by day those who are being saved. So these were the early church and the new faith community. They were devoted to a few things. And that's where we're going to kind of break it down today as well as next week. The new faith community they were devoted to, they were defined by this mark of an early faith community. They were scriptural, right? They devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were spiritual, right? Prayer, praise and worship, signs and wonders, supernatural was natural to them. So they were different in that way. They were relational, or maybe the right word is communal. Fellowship, breaking of bread, sharing life together. That was a very distinct mark of a faith community. And finally, they were missional. They were hospitable. They were reaching the unchurched. They were outward looking. And this was the new faith community. And that was how it was different from the other community around. Number one, scriptural. You know, the early Christians, they don't know how to read. They don't have Bibles like what we have today. But they were so familiar with the scriptures because, remember, they were devoted to it by listening to the reading of the scripture, by memorizing it, by reciting it, by reading out to one another, memorizing it to one another. And scriptures were weaved into hymns and they were sung as worship. And over time, the Word of God is so in them that it begins to take root and begin to transform their life, and the Word of God begin to live out in their daily life. And that's how it was in the first maybe 1,500 years. Today, the devotion that we know it as we read Bible, it's only the last 500 years we have the kind of devotion that we know of today, because people don't own Bibles, people don't know how to read until about 500 years ago, when the printing press technology came about in the 1500s, whereby Bibles started to be translated and printed. So potentially the early church Christians are more familiar, who don't know how to read, who don't own Bibles, are more familiar with the scriptures than us today, who knows how to read and who owns multiple Bibles. Wow, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Think about it, right? Think about it. So today, I hope that we are a scripture-loving church. I hope that we are a Bible-loving church, that we are not just, oh, I love worship, I love Jesus kind, but reading the Bible is not really my thing. I hope we are not that kind of church. I hope that you don't come to church so that you can get a one-liner quote and then post it on our social media, and that's your Bible reading for the rest of the week till next week. I hope that we are not that kind of church. I hope that we can be a bit like them who are devoted to scriptures. So I encourage us to take our physical Bible from our shelf and blow off the dust so that we can open it and highlight it and read it and take notes and read the Bible until it reads us, just like the early church community. They were scriptural. Number two, they were spiritual. Prayer, praise, worship, it's part and parcel of their life. They live in a hostile environment. They were persecuted, but yet they walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. There was one historical writing by a governor of one of the Roman Empire by the name of Pliny, and he wrote an interesting letter to the emperor of Rome at that time, and asking the emperor, why are we persecuting the Christians? Because in his writing, he says that he sent spies into the Christian community to see what they do. And he will pay and send spies, and they will be with them, they will baptize them, spend years with them. He says, but we don't find any form of, you know, anti-Roman government kind of talk. There's no revolution kind of agenda. He says that, but what I found, Christians meet in the dead of night or in the early morning, and they will sing hymn to Christ as God, and they will read from their own sacred writings. They will partake of a very simple meal consisting of bread and wine and water. And he says that worship, prayer, it's a daily part of their life. They will sing hymns. They will pray. They will read the word. They will break bread and wine. I know today we skip all that and we go straight to the wine, right? That's a joke, by the way. You can laugh, okay? Some of you don't know, oh, should I laugh or should I not? But that was what marked the early church. It was spiritual. That I hope today that we are spiritual. You know, Peter and John, in the next chapter, they went to the temple. Remember that in the early morning at the beautiful gate, there was a beggar asking for alms. And Peter and John look at the beggar and say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Remember that? And it was written in the 13th century. Thomas Aquinas, an Italian priest, a theologian, he had a conversation with the Pope at that time, and the Pope was showing him the wealth that the church has accumulated. And the Pope was saying that we no longer have to say silver and gold we do not have. To which Thomas Aquinas replied, yes, Holy Father, but neither can we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And I hope today as a church that, yes, we may be affluent in that sense, but I hope that we have nice lights and music and auditorium, and that's all good. But I hope that we can still say that we have the Spirit of God. We have the power of God. And that's why in this church, we have prayer altar ministry. We have prayer ministry. We have prayer, corporate prayer meeting last night. We have empowerment training, because we believe in walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we grow as a church, that we can be different because we have the Spirit of God in us and with us. Amen. Lastly, third one, relational, communal. They were devoted to fellowship, breaking of bread, sharing life together. And the Greek word is koinonia, which is communal. Not communism, that's forced fellowship, but communal, it's willingness, that they share willingly. And that's a mark of the early faith community, because they view one another as how God view people, made in the image of God. In that era, it was each man for himself. Women and children are treated less of a second class even. They don't eat together. Master and slave. There was a lot of abortion. There was, they call it exposure of infant. When the baby was born, if it's a girl, they will put it outside for people to adopt, or they will put it outside, they will be devoured by wild animal. Exposure of infant is common, but not in this new faith community. In that faith community, you see men and women eating together, masters and slaves eating together. Why? Because it is so radical. At the same time, so attractive. It's different from the culture, different from the perverse generation. Everybody is involved. There was not many bystander. There was not many people who are not engaged. But as you read the scripture of the early faith community, everyone was engaged and participating and involved. And I hope and pray that together, that we don't do church. We want to be a church. We want to be the church that relating, serving, sharing. Sometimes we are recipient, sometimes we are giving. And there are so many historical evidence of how the early Christian lived life that was so mind-boggling. And this is just one of them I will not read, but basically it summarizes that these guys, these people who are called themselves to be Christians, they were loving one another, they take care of the poor, they will host people. People who died, they will spend money to have a proper burial, they will pray for one another, they will host people, host strangers under their roof. And these are strange. It's radical enough to be written, to be documented, because that was the observation of the non-Christian community towards the Christian community. In fact, do you know what's the most quoted verse in the first 100, 200 years of the early church? It wasn't John 3:16. It was Matthew 5:44. What is the verse? You don't find that Matthew 5:44 printed on t-shirts, because it is love your enemies. The t-shirt quote will not sell very well, right? But that was the most quoted verse in the first, because it was quoted 26 times in 10 different sources. The most mentioned, most celebrated, because Christians were badly treated, they were mistreated, they were persecuted, they were killed. And yet, because of Christ's commandment, it is not just to forgive and forget. It is not just to do not take revenge, but to the extra mile of loving your enemies. What a mind-boggling faith community. And I hope that today, yes, we come to church, but I hope today we can be the church. Today, how does devotion to relationship looks like in this super busy urban world that is a pressure cooker where we don't have time? And we want everyone to have this element as you relay that you belong, you be a part of a life group, that you are serving, you're connected, that you build together. And that's what our desire is for all of us. Again, it is not to do church, it's to be the church. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, you are the body of Christ. And you is not you one person, it's you plural. It is not thou, it is ye, which is you all, is the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. None of you is a bystander. None of you is not in this house. When God put us here, He says, we all are the body of Christ. And all of us are part of it. I know last couple of months, we have kind of mentioned the various engagement, social activities that we have just created, different platforms so that we can build relationships outside of these four walls, that we can be a light to the other so that other people can experience what it means to be part of this faith community. I just kind of give you a couple of pictures. There is the hiking group, there is the dance group, there is the badminton group, there is the some of these groups that is there, right? And these are all platforms for relationship and community to be formed. And I know it's still new, but I encourage, if you have people, Saturday Night Live is once a month. I think they had one yesterday night whereby people just come together and just connect, eat together, play board games together and different things so that, again, a community that we can shine to the world outside church, that they can experience God's community. Entrepreneur, community, empowering lives, they do events once in a while. Again, it is platforms to connect, to build community. And all this, you can learn more. You know, there is this quote here, there's various things. And you can find a platform whereby you can bring a friend, that you can just connect, so that, again, there is no bystander. We all a part of it. And this season, we are also running My Spiritual Family. We're not on membership, but we are big on spiritual family, big on relationship, big on community. And if you have not attended this, this is a platform whereby you get to know us, you can get to know our heartbeat, and we can get to know you as well. And we want to help you plugged in, and we can help you build together. You know, as I bring this to a close, Paul says, just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for the church. In this series, our heartbeat is simple. That we want all of us, regardless of your journey of a church, to love the church afresh. Simply because Jesus loved his church. Can you imagine if every single one of us, can you imagine in Klang Valley if there's 100,000 Christians in Klang Valley? I don't know how accurate that number is, but just say 100,000 Christians. And every year, if we can just be a church to another unchurched person, we can be that faith community that exemplify that, that is so different, that is full of life, full of the Spirit of God, that is anchored by truth, that love one another. And if the 100,000 Christians were to impact and bless and influence one unchurched person, in less than 10 years, our whole Malaysia population will be impacted and won for Christ. 100,000, just one person per year. Not do church, but be the church. I want to invite all of us to stand. I want to pray for us as we end. Thank you, Lord. I want to invite us to close our eyes and maybe just have the image of the picture of the bride that I put earlier. Father, I pray that today that we understand a bit more about your heartbeat of the local church. God, yes, that we are not perfect. Far from it. We all have our flaws and limitations. But it doesn't stop you from loving the church, giving your life for the church, fighting for the church, and using your imperfect church to fulfill your purpose. Father, forgive us if we have been indifferent about your bride. Forgive us if we have been critical about your bride. And we can only imagine how much it saddens and hurts you when we have been critical, when we have been judgmental, when we have been indifferent about the very thing you treasured most, the local church. Father, I pray, God, Lord, that today and over the next week, we will just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to heal, to inspire, so that we can fall afresh in love again with your church. So that we can learn how we can be the church to the people outside, to one another, that we will learn to be like the early faith community, to love and to be devoted to the Word of God, to the Spirit, to prayer, to worship, and also to community, Lord, that we learn to serve one another, share with one another, encourage one another, and at certain times to learn to bear with one another, to forgive one another, so that we can reflect the community that you have intended us to be, that is so different from the outside world, so that you may be glorified. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, amen, amen.